Kickstart 101. Graham, welcome back. How are you doing?
Very good, and you?
Excellent. Thank you very much. So with all of this, you know, you look at the SMS line and you look at the cynicism of South Africans and you watch what's gone on with KPMG and McKinsey and Bell Pottinger. You look at this one after the other and you're seeing these giants fall because of corruption and because of the fact that our presidency and the ruling party, the ANC, refuses to take any form of responsibility. You just got to wonder, is South Africa a place to do business?
Well, absolutely. And I think that's why, you know, why we're asking the question today. And I think, you know, although there are lots of opportunities here for small businesses, at the same time, you know, it's a sobering, you've got to actually take a look at the global picture and the actual South African economy and see where we actually are against world standards, and like I said, although there's opportunities, we still have to be honest with ourselves about the environment in which we're dealing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is there's a big disparity between whenever you hear entrepreneurs speak, mm-hmm. and especially ones who are fairly successful, they'll always tell you about the number of opportunities that are in South Africa and how amazing it is to do business here. You know, in fact, just Wednesday I heard Eleanor Craig Jr. He said it quite simply. He said the reason why South Africa has so many opportunities is we have first world infrastructure and third world problems. So,
but that's in some ways very positive for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, yeah. So
because you can really solve problems and you can you can address things and make money whilst you're doing it.
Absolutely. And the thing about that, about making money, you know, when you think about making money in South Africa, it doesn't really mean anything in world terms.
Mm.
You know, the money we make here is worth nothing outside. You know, there's two sides to that coin. It's, do you want to be rich globally or do you want to just be comfortable in...
Well, I guess then the question is, well, is it worth the same effort then in South Africa when for every dollar you've got to earn 13 rand 20, or if you are starting out as an entrepreneur, should you just put your time and effort into another country?
Well, for sure.
That doesn't mean that the same opportunities exist, and I happen not to agree with my own statement, because I do think there's tremendous opportunity in South Africa, absolutely enormous opportunity, number one. Number two, I think that given certain facts, I think it's a phenomenal place to live. It's an unbelievable place to bring up children. As a Jew, yes, we've got real concerns, but I don't believe they're greater than any other country in the world aside from Israel. So I believe that South Africa is a phenomenal place, and I would put effort, and I do put effort into the space, but we have to ventilate that discussion.
Absolutely. I mean, and I tend to agree with you. I'm still here. I've started a business here, so I'm clearly positive about the opportunities here. But it's always good to look and see where we actually stand in global terms. I mean, you can just, you know, one of the things that, you know, you can look at is, you know, look at the state of the South African economy. Quite simply, you know, what was the success of the South African economy? It was traditionally resources.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted what we had in our ground. We were exporting gold, we were exporting coal, we were exporting diamonds. So, you know, coal slowed down.
And of course, we're starting to read more and more about the dangers of a resource-based economy.
Well, for sure, and we'll see it right
now.
What
do they call it? The resource curse? Something like that, isn't it? There's something like that.
But I'm sure you're right. It's probably just my ignorance. You know, our gold mines are actually closing.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to a friend the other day who was in the diamond trade, and you know, one of the things that he said is that India's actually overtaken. Basically controls the world diamond trade, and also younger people aren't looking to buy diamond rings anymore. Younger people don't want diamonds anymore.
Really?
Not on the whole. I imagine certain people will still want them because they believe it's tradition as an engagement ring, but you know, for most people are becoming more non-traditional, and an engagement ring, which is a diamond, will cost you around 50,000 rand. So who has that? So you know, you can ask a question. You know, with your spouse, maybe a younger couple might say, "Should I spend 50,000 on an engagement ring for you, or do you want to go on a nice honeymoon instead?"
Absolutely.
You know, they might,
Just to tell you, the resource curse, thanks Wikipedia, the resource curse is also known as the paradox of plenty. It refers to the paradox that countries with an abundance of natural resources, like fossil fuels and certain minerals, tend to have less economic growth, less democracy, and worse development outcomes than countries with fewer natural resources.
So how that actually plays right into what I'm going to talk about
the
next.
Things when I do compare for you, South Graham, African, the things and, I do for you.
You know, it almost seems like it was planned.
It's got to look spontaneous.
First of all, before I go to what you just said now, is the last, almost the last resource that South Africa was really had was platinum. And platinum is almost taking a turn for the worst globally. I didn't know this, but one of the main uses for platinum is as a converter in cars, specifically petrol and diesel cars,
correct,
which are not required in electric cars. Now, there's a lot of car companies in the last week or two have now signaled their intentions that they are going to go purely electrical as a long-term goal. And Paris have said by 2022, only electric cars will be allowed into Paris.
So, that's incredible.
So you can see South Africa, where their whole strength was resources, are soon going to be completely useless.
Well, not completely.
Not completely
platinum,
useless.
You're talking about platinum specifically.
Yeah, yes, platinum specifically, but every other resource is slowing down.
Very interesting indeed. Just taking a look at your SMS line, we're continuing the conversation whilst we are basically multitasking today in a very, very good way. The ANC Women's League would be proud of us because they believe that that's the reason that Dlamini Zuma should be the next president, because she can multitask. Hillel Dyson saying the name of Zuma's book should be Towards the Precipice, A View from the Driver's Seat. That is a very strong title. Less strong, perhaps, is I think Jay-Z's book should be called The G-Spot. Really? All right. Another suggestion saying Tender with Care. I like that also. All right. So we've got some very serious ones and some lesser. Graham, you were saying.
So, you were just using the example of the resource curse, so the paradox of plenty.
Yes.
And I think that, a perfect example is if we compare the South African economy to the Israeli economy.
I was thinking exactly that when I was reading out of this Wikipedia. I'm thinking, sound familiar? That's exactly Israel. It had nothing in terms of natural resources, besides from a very dead sea
and a desert,
and yet it's one of the most amazingly innovative and successful economies.
So exactly. So if we just compare it to South Africa. First of all, the economies are the exact same size globally. Israel, of course, is the size of the Kruger Park. The GDP per capita, which for anyone who's not sure what that means, it basically means it's the average supposed income per citizen. So their average GDP per capita is $40,000, while South Africa is $5,000 per year. So Israelis are 8 times richer than us. They are a modern economy, which is based on technology. Like we said, they have no resources. So they were forced to really modernize. And, where South Africa's exports are our resources, their exports are their brains and technology, which doesn't it's not something that runs out. You can always produce more of it. And if you look at Israeli companies are there getting bought up by American companies for hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. You don't hear South African producing the level of innovation that's happening there. So, it's just as a comparison, just to show where we are and where we need to go.
So does that mean that South Africans have become lazy because to some extent we've been really badly spoiled?
It could be, and another example is that another analogy, not an analogy, but an example I've heard is one of the curses of the Middle Eastern countries is that they always had oil, which the whole world needed, so they were never really pushed to develop the other side of their economy, and that is possibly what's happened in South Africa because we've been so resource plenty and because there's been so much success in the past and so much demand for all, for for everything that we have. Even look at our produce.
Mm.
You know, there's still demand for that.
Well, I would go further. I would talk about water. Our water scarcity is one that is born out of pure laziness. We should never, given the amount of rain, the rainfall that we have in this country and the amount of natural water that we have, we should never have an issue. But because we receive rain year after year and we sometimes a little bit more dry, but we generally get our water, we become incredibly complacent and we didn't try and solve the problem. As a result of which, Cape Town is in dire, dire straits.
Well, for sure. And I mean, you can even compare that to Israel again. You know, they had no water. Mm. You know, where they get most of their water, the Kinneret, they've always got a red line where they say,
oh, please.
We go below this line.
Yes, exactly. I don't think the Kinneret.
There must be about 400 lines.
Certainly not in my living memory has the Kinneret ever been above the red line. It's almost sort of how much below the red line it is. But yet, somehow, there isn't a concern. There's always a concern and there's always an awareness, but they're recycling of water, the desalination, it's very, very sophisticated. They've all but eliminated the water crisis there. We still walking headlong into ours because we haven't bothered. Yep. We're still looking for solutions, never mind implementing them.
I mean, even our energy crisis is one to
That's back to Jacob Zuma's book. Did we even have an energy crisis or not? Or was that really just a way to usher us closer to Russia and nuclear energy? We don't know that.
Absolutely.
I'm very skeptical. I'm very skeptical about the whole energy crisis in South Africa, I must tell you. But I'm chatting to Graham Shapiro. We're talking about doing business in South Africa. Do you run or do you start out looking at another area, another country, or do you say, you know, there's incredible opportunity here in South Africa? Yes, even though our rand and our currency is weak, well, maybe that gives you an opportunity, certainly if you're on the export side of things, but maybe South Africa presents enormous opportunities. I'm always of the belief, and I've said this to countless Israeli companies, technology and otherwise, that I see South Africa as an incredible pilot program. Any company from around the world, before they go into the massive US or Europe, for example, I would think that they would do incredibly well by trying out in South Africa, because the economy is sophisticated enough to be able to deal here, and we've got a fantastic financial system. Our banks are very, very sophisticated. We're a well-established economy, but on the other hand, the opportunities exist. It's small enough that you can really get a handle on things.
Well, I think that's exactly what we opened up with, just in different words, from Alanot Craig Jr., where he said, you know, we have third world problems, but first world infrastructure. So it's a great place to bring technology. And like you said, and I agree with you there, that it would be a great place for Israeli companies to come
and test
things out here.
And of course, it's also a stepping stone to the rest of Africa. Time is 4:52. I'm chatting to Graham Shapiro. We're talking about the South African economy and if this is a good place for entrepreneurs to do business. The one thing I do want to tell you is I had a conversation with my friends at Friends this morning, and I managed to convince them to allow us to continue advertising that incredible shawarma special. They were completely inundated last week, Thursday and Friday, when that special was available, and they have decided to allow it to continue until Rosh Hashanah. So if you don't feel like cooking, for 295 rand, what's that in dollars?
Not much.
No, it's basically they pay you 295 rand. You can get a kilo of cooked delicious shawarma, a tub of hummus, a tub of Israeli salads, and 6 pita. So that feeds a pretty decent number of people. That's for 295 rand. Pop into Friends and tell them that we sent you. But you shouldn't be cooking now. You know, it's 3 days to Rosh Hashanah. It's absolutely unacceptable that anybody is expected to make a meal. Much easier and probably even cheaper to pop into Friends and to get that special. Mike Lubo saying Zuma wrote a book. I would call it 4,500 and Million World ways to turn South Africa into a black hole. That is Mike Lubo. And somebody else saying, does the ANC Women's League consider multitasking? No, I'm not even reading that, because that's just rude. That is just rude. Time is 4:55. I'm chatting to Graham Shapiro, Kickstart 101, and we're talking about the South African economy and the opportunities that exist. Itai Melchior saying, they say that Israel's find of natural gas had two blessings. Listen to this, Graham. Very clever indeed. One was the find itself, and two, only finding it after becoming the startup nation. Clever.
Very clever.
Absolutely fantastic. That's Itai Melchior, and of course, he speaks to us very, very often on the show, and we talk about some of the innovation that he's certainly involved with in bringing technologies, Israeli technologies, to South Africa, and in fact taking South Africans to Israel. I was chatting to him on the weekend. Amazing developments, certainly in the area of water. Graham, tell me what would you say, looking at the South African economy, and any younger person or even older person who's saying, well, you know, I'd love to do something. How do you even start? Where do you look at? You're saying resources, keep away from them, maybe look to solve problems?
Well, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, we almost kicked off the show with. We're saying, you know, what is a business? And it's out there to solve problems. But, you know, in saying that, there are still barriers to entry in South Africa. You know, it's still, you know, it's fairly easy to go start a business and just get going. But at the same time, you also need to consider, never mind the problem, ideas are great, mm-hmm. but ideas won't get you anywhere. You need to find something that you yourself can actually do. You know, you need to actually consider how much cash you have to do it. But, you know, there are plenty of opportunities, and, you know, don't try and, you know, don't try overthink it like I just did with that sentence. But
yeah, I was wondering where you were going with that. And maybe you were too much as well. Yeah,
exactly. And see where, you know, see if you're going to support businesses, see where businesses are spending their money. See, so, you know, I actually came across a small business survey done by Xero, which is mm-hmm. a cloud accounting company. So they just released it this morning. And they've surveyed 400 companies, and they said where the companies are going to be spending their money in the following year. And this is a good place to start, because you're not going to get big businesses as clients if you're a startup. You're going to get small businesses. So these are probably places where to look. So, you know, 36% of them say they're going to be spending it in marketing. I know there's no shortage of marketing people out there. I see that I'm part of a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. If anybody ever asks, do you know of an online marketing company? There's about 4,000 replies.
All right, so that tells you a story.
So it tells you a story. Also, the thing is don't go into one of these areas which is oversaturated, and I sort of feel that might be. Now, another place where they're looking to spend is in customer service. So they're spending a lot in customer service, which means that if you can help companies, you know, they're not doing it themselves. They'd rather outsource it. If you know how to do customer service, go out and help companies speak to their clients. Think of creative ways for companies to interact with their clients. I think the biggest opportunity here, where it's mainly because it's the industry I'm in cloud computing, only 3% are looking to spend money there. And that's what I actually think is one of the biggest opportunities.
So interesting.
Most of them are also, which came out in the survey, most companies only see cloud computing as a source of backup. They don't see the benefits of how cloud technology integrates to other business technology to actually make your business run far more efficiently. And I think in the areas of cloud technologies and implementing and using them to make businesses more efficient, I think that's where there's a lot of opportunity.
All right, so there's your tip from Graham Shapiro. He is he's given us an indication as to where he thinks opportunities exist. Graham, with that, I wish you a Shana Tova. Thank you for your ongoing time, popping in here on a Monday and educating us. Hope you have a fantastic Yontif and a fantastic New Year.
And Shana Tova to you and to you and your family.